from looking at Instagram and looking at everyone that was doing these incredible things, I was like, once we do all that, that's it. Worked the hardest I think I've ever worked in my life. And it was great. But by the end of it, I was so tired and so burnt out.
You put in all this effort, you went like both to the wall, and yeah. It worked. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like you could say, oh, well, I tried and it didn't happen. So, oh, well, it's like I tried and it worked. But is it sustainable? Today, I'm speaking with Adeline Hatcher from Cine Garden about her journey from getting kicked off YouTube at 10 years old to running a successful wedding film business. We discuss creative fulfillment, navigating the complexities of working alongside your significant other, and we both share our experiences of how we are currently recovering from burnout.
There is nothing better than telling an actual story instead of just recapping an event that's just like any other event.
My name is Ben, and this is Make Better Wedding Films.
We had this camera that we had gotten from American Girl. Like, they would send out a catalog at like Christmas time. We had this little it was a little blue camera, and my sister had it first, and she gave it to me when she got like an actual digital camera. And I started making videos with that camera and like learning how to edit with the little software that it came with. And it was just this thing that like stuck with me, and I had made a YouTube channel. I ended up getting banned from YouTube when I was like 10 because you have to be 13, and they
amazing.
Like, I guess figured out. I mean, I obviously did not look 13, so they banned me one day. I like tried to log in, and it was like, your account has been deactivated because you violated terms of service. So I was
God, that's so good.
And so I literally like, probably not even a year later, I made another channel and I was like, yeah, I just turned 13. I just had a birthday.
Oh my
and
God.
So I good. Made a channel. It was called Addie is Cool 13.
just to really sell the illusion. Just to really make sure they knew. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was covering all of my bases. And oh my so God. Started that channel and stuck with it all the way through high school. And eventually kids at school found out about my videos and started pulling them up on the projector in the classrooms. And I was like, I'm done with this. Deleting my channel. Done. And at that point, my channel had like 10,000 subscribers. And back then, that was a lot.
Yeah.
And I still regret that. I'm like, dude, I could be living in LA right now, like rich. Like, I could be this
kind of
YouTuber.
A hashtag influencer. And yeah. Just you and Mr. Beast, just like chilling at the top of YouTube.
Exactly.
Oh, so the regrets we have.
Gosh, now I'm just a wedding videographer. Are you kidding me?
Just a wedding videographer.
I think what's clear from Adeline's origin story into the world of video making is that she's always had not only an innate desire to create through video, but a natural tendency to be playful with it. And this is going to come up again later in our interview. But for now, let's hear how Adeline transitioned from illegal underage YouTuber into the world of wedding filmmaking.
It was the end of my freshman year of college that a local wedding videographer here, she like through the grapevine, like knew me through someone else, and she knew that I made videos. And so she texted me one day and she was like, hey, I'm looking for a second shooter for weddings this season. Would you want to do that with me? And I was like, yeah, like, and this was, you know, back then wedding videos were, I mean, that was kind of a new thing. This was 2015. I want to say she was like one of maybe two videographers that I knew of, wedding videographers in our area. Like, I did not know of anybody else. And at the time, I had
T2i.
I had a 50 millimeter prime, and I had a like 70 to 200. That was all that I had. I made a like Facebook page and I made a business name. And do you want to know what it is? Super cringe.
Go on, hit me. Hit me.
Forever Moments Videography.
Just selling the vision. Yeah.
And so made a Facebook page, and then I texted a whole bunch of people that I knew were getting married. There was a girl that I graduated with that was getting married. And I was like, yo, do you need a wedding videographer? And she actually already had one booked. And she like ran it by them and asked if I could just come because I was like trying to learn. And I guess they said yes, but I feel like it probably was really annoying. But I showed up. I before the wedding, I ordered a monopod and a little Zoom like audio recorder. And a little like cheap lav mic that I could plug into it. And that's all I had for the first wedding. And she paid me $150. And I came home from that wedding. I edited that film in one night. I stayed up all night and I edited it. I delivered it the next day. I was so excited about it. She loved it, shared it, and then it just went from there. And so Rob comes into the picture right after this. So I meet him right before I shoot that first wedding. I meet him for the first time. And then like 3 months later, we started dating and I had booked another wedding at that point. And I was like, hey, would you want a second shoot this with me? And he was like, I know nothing about this, but I guess. And so took him with me. And yeah, like the rest is history. It just kind of happened naturally on its own. So yeah, started in 2015. And here we are.
And so Rob was like, no camera experience, like not into photography or anything. Just like,
he said that he had an interest, but he didn't know anything about it. And I like, it's not like I had a lot to teach him. I wasn't shooting in on manual camera settings. I knew absolutely nothing from like a technical standpoint. So it really was like just born from like a passion. And then we kind of learned together as we went. And it's a good thing that we stayed together because we like built a business together. So it's a good thing that we ended up getting married.
We did have a lot of leeway back then to kind of just like figure things out as we went. It's not like jumping in today.
There's high standards and expectations now. And it's just like information overload.
And not just from like wedding filmmakers seeing what's around, also couples seeing what like the just general baseline standard is. So you either sort of step up to that or you're going to disappoint people. Whereas, yeah, back in 2015, people were like, wedding video, that's a camera at the back of the church, right? So like anything more than that is like mind blowing.
Exactly. You
know? It's like, what's this shallow depth of field? What? 6-bit color? What?
6-bit.
Mate, those T2Is were just, they're gold. You guys have obviously gone on a bit of a journey, like learning together, building the business. And so what's been that journey like? And have you guys slotted into quite distinct roles?
Well, it's actually changed quite a bit. So in the beginning, like I said, we were both just kind of learning and I was always like the only editor and, you know, we were both still in college. So it just slowly built over time and we would slowly add more pieces of gear and like eventually switch to Sony and like, you know, and we built up more clients. Like I think we started that. So in 2016, we had like 4 or 5 weddings. And the next year we had like 10 or 12. And the next year we had like 15 to 17 and then so on. It was a very like natural growth. And as far as like our roles went, like I said, I was always the main editor or the only editor. And then he was basically just a second shooter role. And then eventually, like there have been a few times now where like he's been in a lead shooter position and I haven't been able to be there or vice versa. And so I went full time in 2021 and he came on full time with me in basically the very beginning of 2022. So that was like pretty dang recent. And that's when our roles really started to like shift a lot because he was on full time with me. And so I was starting to teach him a ton of editing and kind of pass some projects to him or allow him to kind of do like the beginning parts of projects. So like culling and finding music and like syncing up all of the audio and helping me kind of piece down like the narrative. And then he would kind of pass it on to me and I would finish. So throughout 2022 and this year, we kind of navigated what it looked like for both of us to be full time. And I feel like our roles were constantly kind of changing. And we were just kind of figuring out what worked best for us. And then, to be quite transparent with you, 2023 was like, this year has been like the weirdest year that we've ever had in our business. Like, cause we absolutely like thrived in 2022. And then 2023, it was like, it's still been a really like solid year, but not quite solid enough for it to make sense for us to both be full time. And so we reached a point in the summer where we were like, we were just under too much stress all the time, like financially, for it to make sense to keep going. And he was a teacher before, so he decided to go back to teaching this year. So he started in the fall. And so it's kind of been a like reverse engineering again. And so now I'm kind of carrying the weight of pretty much everything except for like he's, so we also added photography. So that's another development. And so he's lead shot. How do you grammar?
Lead,
I don't understand
lead,
how to say
lead
that.
Shot? He has lead shot. He is a lead shot.
Why is that so hard?
Fucking English. The best language.
Yeah. So, he has led a little bit for video, and then I've led photo. And, but as far as editing goes, it's been all me, social media, all me, because he's working full time again. And, so that's been interesting. And that has really shifted, I feel like, my mindset on what I want to do going forward with our business, just being very intentional and really raising the bar on our work, accepting a very small amount of weddings, and just continuing to elevate our brand and get it like niched down to where we want it to be. And I feel like that's just a journey that we're all kind of on, and I don't know if we'll ever not be on that journey.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is because like when we were in those early days, the idea of like niching down and finding a client wasn't really a thing. We were just like mucking around with 50mm lenses, like having our minds blown by shallow depth of field. Whereas now it's like, what's the product you're making and who are you speaking to and what's your work saying, all this kind of stuff. It's intense.
Evolving from hobbyist into full-time creative business owner is a difficult, complex, and confusing journey, with people's opinions and advice around every corner. As Adeline was starting to feel the pressure of maintaining and growing the business, she sought out advice and guidance through education and mentoring in the hopes of attaining a vision that she thought she wanted, high-end destination weddings. But as the old saying goes, be careful what you wish for, because you might just get it.
Up until that point, I really feel like we were just like floating with our business. Like we were just letting growth happen very naturally, and I wasn't diving into any education, to be honest with you. I just didn't even know that like wedding education existed until then. And so I wasn't pursuing any sort of like just trying to elevate our brand or like trying to get better at like technical skills or like communication skills with clients. I just didn't, or advertising or anything. Like I just didn't know about anything. I was just letting word of mouth kind of carry our business. And so when I went full time, I was like, all right, I'm ready to like really make our business thrive, and like I want our work to be incredible. And so that's when I started discovering all of this like education that was out there, and like discovered that there was a whole community of wedding videographers, you know, on Instagram and stuff that I could connect with. And at that point, I think I was posting on our Instagram like maybe once a month or once every 2 months or something. I really wasn't even on it. Like I was always just on my personal Instagram. And so yeah, at that point, I think we had maybe like 500 followers or something, and I wasn't paying attention to it. And so I started diving into education, and I discovered how all these people were doing destination weddings. And I was like, I have to do that. Like I'd always been passionate about traveling, and like it was my dream to travel. And so And, you know, Rob was teaching at the time, so it's not like we could just like up and leave whenever. And so, but I wanted to start pushing our business like that direction so that when he did come on full time, we could just leave whenever. So dove into all of that. And by December, he was full time with me. And then, I decided to do mentorships. And so I did a mentorship with Boomer and Sarah, Multiply Media. And then I did one. So I don't know if you remember this, but, Cody or Stanton, he had like done like a Patreon program for mentorships. So we did that with him for a few months. And, he really helped us like push into destination weddings and taught us a whole lot. And so, we did a whole like brand refresh. We completely redid our website. We switched over from Squarespace to Showit and, did the whole dang thing, started posting reels consistently. I feel like we just followed like the formula.
The 10-step process on how to be a wedding videographer in 2020. Yeah.
Yes. And so just dove in headfirst, worked the hardest I think I've ever worked in my life in 2022. I feel like I didn't have a life outside of our business. But I mean, everything that we did, I feel like really pushed us like to where we wanted to be. And like, just, it's kind of unbelievable when I look back on it. And when you're in the middle of all of it, it doesn't feel, I don't know. It's weird because you like put like destination weddings and like luxury weddings on this like pedestal when you're not doing them yet. And you think, this is going to feel like this when I'm there. Like, it's going to feel so great and I'm going to feel like I've made it and that'll
be
it. Like,
yeah,
that'll
be
it.
I'll be happy when, if you're ever thinking, I'll be happy when I get X, false. That's fucking wrong.
It's just not true.
The goalpost always moves. It always moves.
It does. And so we went from zero destination weddings to six within, I mean, it was less than 6 months that we had booked all of them. And so in 2022, we went to New York, Iceland, Mexico, Sequoia National Park, Italy, Switzerland.
I was going to say, it's sort of an Italian Lake Como wedding Lake on your page as well. Yeah.
So
you got around.
Yeah, I don't, it's kind of insane. I really don't even understand how it all happened, but I thought from looking at Instagram and looking at everyone that was doing these incredible things, I was like, once we do all that, I mean, that's it. And it was great, like made amazing memories and amazing films, and I feel like we have grown so much because of all of it. But by the end of it, I was so tired and so burnt out. And 2022, just like this year, I was starting to dread traveling.
This is the thing, is that like, this is the slightly sinister part of all of this, because it's like, you put in all this effort, you went like balls to the wall, and it worked, and you got what you were wanting. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like you could say, oh, well, I tried and it didn't happen, so oh well. It's like, I tried and it worked, but is it sustainable? Like, can I keep doing this? Where am I now? What do I do now?
Right.
You know, you got to keep the train moving. So it's this tricky thing of like, these sort of roadmaps are sort of laid out for people, and it's like, yes, they technically work. Like, look at you, like you did the thing. You grew the brand, you got the weddings, you like the Instagram account grew, and all these things happened that were what you were wanting, but then you're left in this situation of having to then carry that on. What's your perspective now moving forward into 2024 in terms of learning from that kind of like hypergrowth?
I think the biggest thing that I learned, so aside from really diving into like the destination weddings and like leveling up our brand and being present on social media and all the like things that we're supposed to do, in 2022, I feel like we also discovered like who we want to serve and who we really felt like we were just fulfilled by serving them. And it didn't really matter if we were in Lake Como, like it just mattered who it was that we were working with. And the fact that they valued their own story and they really wanted it to be told in like a vulnerable and honest way. And, so I feel like we really learned that in 2022. And so going forward this year, I feel like we really just started leaning more and more and more into the story side of things and like really learning to just connect with our couples. And it doesn't mean you need to be best friends with them. Like you're not going to be, and some of them, it's not going to be such a natural progression of like a friendship or anything like that, but some people it will. I feel like I've just learned that there is nothing better than telling an actual story instead of just recapping an event that's just like any other event, leaning into what happens before that and leaning into what they look forward to and what comes after that. That is where I felt like I wanted to live with our business.
Looking at some of your work, whether the wedding is in Lake Como or it's a couple in a bedroom, it's about the story. And so how do you communicate that side of your work to your ideal couple? How are you transitioning into, I guess, making that a primary kind of selling point for what it is that you do and what you offer?
We really just try to start from the very, very beginning. So, you know, when someone inquires with us and sends an email, I never send like a templated like response. Mm-hmm. I've even tried like,
I feel so same.
I've even tried, you know, this year to start responding like with a video. Like I take a video on my phone and like just say, hey, like, I'm so glad you reached out. I saw that you like wrote that this is what's important to you with your film. I feel like we really align. You know, I just try to give them a very personal response. So whether it's through video or through a written email, I just let them know that I did read everything that you wrote. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm going to find whatever pieces within that that I can relate to and respond to. And I'm going to do that. I feel like some people will say it's better for you to just keep it simple because people don't want to read that much, or like people don't like big blocks of text. So don't respond. That's why people ghost you, because you'd send too long of response or whatever. I'm like, the people that I want to work with aren't going to ghost. Like they're looking for what we offer. And I'm done worrying about the people that are looking for something different, or they don't want to read an email because it's too personal or whatever. It starts from the very beginning. And then, you know, when we get on our like consultation calls with our couples, I feel like we talk a whole lot less about the wedding and what it's going to look like, and a whole lot more about just like their history and what their life looks like now. And like, we just get to know them. It's like just a double date with a couple. What would you talk to them about over dinner? Same kind of atmosphere on the call. And we'll get to the wedding stuff at the end. We'll get to the video stuff at the end. I just feel like we make a conscious effort to just actually get to know them a little bit. And then also share a little bit about us too. And I don't know, it just doesn't feel, we don't let it feel too businessy. You know what I'm saying? It's a conversation. And I think we also just are pretty vulnerable about what it is that is important to us with making films, and just try to be as transparent as possible about the fact that like we want to work with couples that want the full story told. So if you don't feel comfortable with that, then we might not be the best fit.
For you, is it quite intuitive in terms of just like you're just naturally going to try and get to know them and then let things kind of like sort of spark your brain naturally? Or have you got specific things you're kind of hunting out for?
I'd say it's a mix of both. I always hope and pray that the couple is going to be the kind that they want to conversate and like they feel comfortable enough to, because I do want the conversation to kind of like happen and flow naturally. But of course we have, you know, some sort of a bullet point like that we go through. It's like, you know,
your
tell
safety.
Tell us how you guys met and like tell us about when you got engaged. And we'll ask them about like their personality types. Like, is one of you an introvert? Is one of you an extrovert? Like, tell us about that. Do you guys have pets? I don't know. You know, we have like our questions that we ask every time. But it's always the best when a call ends up being, instead of like 20 minutes, being like over an hour. We get off of it and we're like, oh my gosh, like that was just so easy. And it just felt like we were just hanging out. And that's when we know it's our ideal couple. And that's not to say, I want to just give a little disclaimer, because I don't want people, like, I feel like every time I listen to like podcasts, I'm like, I get off of them and I'm like, man, I should be doing this. Like, dang it. Like, I've been doing it all wrong. I want to make a disclaimer that it doesn't look like, yes, we accept some weddings that just aren't the right fit, but it makes sense for us and our lifestyle. And like, we need the money and it's going to be a good film. Maybe pieces of it will be good for our portfolio because of the venue or XYZ. So I don't want to be like, I don't know. I just want to give that disclaimer. Great.
Thank you for the real talk, because this is the thing, is that, again, social media, everyone's projecting their curated experience. And when you're on a podcast like this, people are talking about what they're passionate about, and you're passionate about, you know, like the couples that click with you. But of course, we all book the couples that we don't really click with, and we show up, we shoot their day, they love their film, it doesn't end up on our Instagram, and it is what it is. And it just goes, and that just goes into the mix of keeping the wheels turning and keeping the business running.
Right. I think also there's always a potential of someone to like surprise you too, because I feel like that's happened so many times where we're like, I don't know about them. Like, this wedding day is going to be kind of interesting. Might not be our fave. And then they end up being awesome. And it's one of the best films. So you just never know.
Yeah, you got to be open to everything. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But then, absolutely not expecting that every single wedding is going to be this like fairy tale experience of like unbridled creativity and connecting with. It just like, babe, chill. Like, some weddings are going to be great. Some weddings are going to be average. It's okay. We're all going to survive.
I think hearing Adeline's journey of discovery into what authentically serves her as a filmmaker is fascinating and always valuable for other creatives to hear. We're bombarded every single day with visions of success to strive for, and sometimes you have to try something before realizing that that's someone else's vision and not yours.
We had a couple who, on their consultation call, I decided to like throw out a question that I had never asked before on a call. It's kind of like putting them on the spot. So I wouldn't do it with everyone. I feel like you have to kind of feel out like who they are. But I asked if there had been anything like a significant hardship or anything that they had like gone through while they had been together that has like made a significant impact. And the girl talked about how her brother had passed away like that past year. She got a little bit choked up while she was on the call with us talking about it. I was like, okay, well, I need to handle this very delicately, obviously. Like, this is sensitive. And so I was like, okay, well, be 100% honest with me. Is this something that you would want to be highlighted or mentioned in your film? Are you doing anything to like honor him on your wedding day? Is, you know, how much of this do you want to be present in your film? Do you want any of it? Like, cause it is, you know, it's very sensitive. And she was like, actually, I really would like him to be mentioned. We are going to do some things to honor him on the day. I think that would be really awesome for him to be like incorporated. And so I stuck with that and I ran with it. So when we did their story session, I, you know, kind of asked that same question, like, or I prompted them to kind of talk about that situation. And so of course we got like some, like a tender moment there, and then was able to tie all of that in, you know, with what we captured on wedding day, the things that they did to honor him. And so I don't know. You have to just always keep your eyes and ears like open for those like little things. And you don't always have to ask such a direct question, but maybe don't be afraid to, because you might discover something like that is like super important to the couple, but they like not every couple's gonna think to bring anything up like that when they're talking about their like wedding, you know?
Yeah.
So does that answer your question?
It does. And where I want to kind of transition to now is like all this kind of extra like mental load and effort to like really dive deep with couples and all this kind of stuff that could be seen as like not unpaid work, but like just we could get away with, you know, having our processes and our rhythms and we show up, we shoot the day and stuff. So what for you do you find is, I guess, the benefit or the why for going that extra mile, and especially in terms of like telling these couples' stories?
Mm-hmm. I think because it's always been a passion of my own to tell my own story and document my own life. And like I've been through some hardships in my life that made me really value telling a compelling story about my own hardships or triumphs, because I think as humans, like human to human, it's what we need from each other. And so even if you don't know someone very well, you can really connect with their like vulnerability through a video, like through their story being told. And it can actually like really, you know, change your perspective on something or give you hope about something or inspire you or, I don't know, like just reawaken something in you that you forgot was there. I don't know, that's really deep, but I think that's the main thing. It's just at my core, it's like what I feel like is so important to me, and I want that for other people. And of course, from a like more of a practical standpoint, like I just feel like when it comes to doing my job, I mean, I always knew that I didn't want to be doing like a routine job. And I think that if I settled into like templated wedding videos that are all the same and I had a system, and if I went that route, I think I would feel pretty empty. And even if I was making lots of money, the really lucrative route in the wedding industry, you don't necessarily have to tell a story. Like it really is just documenting a day really well to show how beautiful it was. It really doesn't have much to do with a story at all. And you can make a ton of money that way. But I think I would feel pretty empty if I did that. I don't know. I get this feeling when
you chase, right?
Yeah, like I'll be listening through all of the audio and I'll hear a piece of audio that I'm like, that's going to be, you know, this, that's going to go here, or that's going to be like the cornerstone of this whole film. And there's like just a magic about that. Like it feels so exciting. And, but I think that it also comes with its drawbacks. Like you're saying, it's, you are kind of doing free work. It's not the most lucrative thing to do, at least not right now, because like we've been saying, I don't think it's super necessarily valued yet. I think it's kind of an underrated way to go with films. And I do just a lot of extra work and like, I don't know, like I feel like I sometimes pour everything that I have into a film, and it, you know, it doesn't necessarily always get received that well, whether it be on social media or whether it be by the couple. Like they'll receive it and say they love it and it's great, but maybe they send me like two sentences, you know, or maybe they don't ever respond. That's happened too. And I'm like, I literally like everything I had,
heart and soul into this film. Yeah.
Everything I had went
this is
into
the,
it.
Yeah. Cause that's the thing. Cause so this is why I asked that question, because like, I know that feeling. Of like going above and beyond, like pouring your heart and soul, and then getting back like cool, thanks, you know, kind of response. And it's like, I gave you everything.
Literally.
Poured
all I had.
Honestly, I feel the same. If you wanted a routine job, you would get a routine job, right? The way that is like, for some of us, we're doing this because it is like a creative outlet, it's creative freedom, it's this sort of like balance of hobby creativity, but it's also our job, and because it's our job, we get to spend all day doing it, and you kind of like run this tightrope of like balancing those two things, because if you play too much into the creativity, it's you do like end up doing a lot of kind of like work for free. But then if you just splay too far towards the capitalist side of things, it's, you lose your soul. This is the game we play. But then, because there is this whole kind of like, and I've had it before, where you look at online and there's the whole toxic online comparison thing of, you see people making squillions with, you know, beautiful but easy work. And it's like, oh, I wish I was doing that some days. Mm-hmm. And so do you ever kind of like battle with that kind of comparison culture, I guess, and how that feeds into how you see yourself as a creative and creative business owner?
Of course. All the time. Well, yeah. I feel like I just kind of go in and out. Like I have a few months where I feel like I feel like I'm being very true to who I am with our business and with our work. And I feel so good and like fulfilled. And then there's other times where I'm spending way too much time looking at what everyone else is doing and listening to what everyone else is doing and thinking like, man, like maybe I should be doing that. Or like, why do I not have that? Why? I just don't understand. Is success charging more? Is success working with these types of clients, like, is that what success is? Because I feel like many times it, and I just feel like lately, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just maybe it's always been a thing, but I feel like when I first went full time, it was like destination weddings, that's success. And everybody wanted that. And I think a lot of people still want that, but it felt like that was the thing that everybody was like driving towards. And I feel like lately it has been luxury and ultra luxury. Like that's where you should be. Like that's, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying that is my, like, I think that's my current like struggle with like, where do I want my business to be? Because of course I want to feel valued and I want to charge more because I do put so much work into it, but it's charging more. There's always going to be more, I feel like. And so I do have that internal battle of like, is that going to make me happier if I'm charging what whoever else is charging? Like, is that going to make me feel better or more successful? I don't know.
Yeah, because there are these kind of like ideals and carrots that get dangled around the kind of bubble that is wedding videographers on Instagram, right? Because like a few years ago, destination weddings were the hot thing. And now it seems like, this kind of like ultra luxury high-end market is kind of the next carrot that's getting dangled in front of everyone's face. It is hard to kind of like see the wood for the trees and be clear on like, what is it that I actually want to be going after? And do I want to be going after that? Do I want to be going after this? Why? But being in that bubble of around other wedding videographers and what they have to say and their opinions and stuff can get really confusing and tiring and draining. So is there things that you seek out outside of the wedding industry to kind of like fill your creative cup and like give you clarity on like how you want to be creative video maker?
Yeah. I mean, it always goes on the back burner, me doing anything outside of weddings, but this just, so whenever Rob went back full time and I was back at home by myself, just working all the time, having a lot more time to just think on my own, I started to realize like, man, I really need to like dive back into just creating, like just for the sake of creating. So I have started trying to make videos for my YouTube channel again, like just sort of like short personal films. So they're kind of like cinematic, like I call them cinematic journal entries because that's basically what they are. I write in my journal and then I storyboard off of what I've written in my journal and then create something. And I think that that's been so awesome and fulfilling. That's like, I don't know. It's kind of weird that my like other thing that I do is still video. Like, I think that that's still, that can be a struggle on its own too, because it's like, I don't know. It's like, I'm still sitting at the same desk doing like the same action.
No, but yeah, but it gets you out of the bubble. Anything that gets you out of the bubble, I think is good. Cause like, it is so easy to drop that. I mean, anyone who follows the podcast somewhat recently will be aware that I have been non-existent for several months now because of that very issue of getting burnt out and the kind of one creative outlet, which for me was the podcast, was the first thing to go because you're like, oh, well, that doesn't have value.
Yeah.
monetary value. So we're going to park that for a while and focus on the thing that's, you know, like our job.
I think the other thing too that's been huge is like finding community like within the industry. And I don't mean like on Instagram, because I never really had that. And just this year, like I decided that I was going to like really make a conscious effort to like meet some other people in the area and like spend time with them and like co-work with them and stuff like that. So I've actually like had some co-working days at my house, and that, man, like being like surrounded by other people that just like get it and just having conversations and spending time together and seeing what they're working on and being just, I don't know, being able to encourage each other. And that's been so huge and something that I think was seriously missing from my life. But I was so intimidated to like do that. Like I started a little group message on Instagram for people that were local, and went to a networking event, and I remember being like,
not the networking event,
I'm so anxious. But we like met for drinks beforehand, and it was so good, and it just like opened this door of like community that I felt like was, I mean, that's so important for us. And I'm like, Instagram is great, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. And that's why I love the podcast as a medium, because it's like, it's an excuse for people. Language. It's an excuse for me to actually have conversations with people, because, you know, like being down the end of the world in New Zealand, I would never get to talk to someone like you. But here we are having a lovely conversation for an hour, which is great.
Agreed.
Agreed. We all agree. I want to kind of sort of talk now about like what's looking forward for you. Like, do you have grand plans? Is Rob going to be full time again? Do we like, what's the sort of vision or non-vision that you have for things moving forward?
Yeah. Honestly, it's a great question, because I feel like last year I was so like, I had a vision and I had a path that we were on. And like I said, we were just working so dang hard to get there. And this year, like, it was just a weird year. But what I will say is everything that we shot this year, like, I'm like so excited about my backlog. Which is weird to say, but I'm very excited about these films, and I feel like they are really going to help me just continue to like niche down into just being a very intentional storyteller. Gosh, that's so like, sounds very cringy, but I just want to continue to like nurture that and be true to that like side of me that's so passionate about like really connecting and telling vulnerable stories. As far as Rob coming back on full time, it's really hard to say. I want to say that as of right now, I don't think that that's going to happen. He's actually really happy teaching, and he's coaching soccer again. He's in a much better place mentally with all of that.
Because, I don't know, there's something to be said for having the grand plan, but then something else to be said for just like, I don't know, having a general intention and then just being open to see what happens. Having like the hyper control of like, this is what I'm doing and this is my, you know, 10-step plan, like I said before, can lead to burnout and lead to just getting way too tired,
exactly.
Right? So I think leaving some room for intuition and being like, here's like generally some things I would be interested in, but I'm going to listen to my body and listen to things and like just feel it out. We're just going to feel
absolutely.
It out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I just definitely needed to like step back and like just listen. I'm sure you've heard about The Artist's Way. Have you heard about that book?
Yes.
I feel like everybody.
Yeah, I am actually halfway through it.
That's what kind of led me into like getting back into my YouTube channel and like trying to create stuff that was like just for me. I think if I could go back, I would tell myself to lean into openness and vulnerability and like story sooner, because like I told you before, not only were we just like floating, we were just showing up on wedding day, having just emailed this couple, just being so awkward, like so afraid to talk to people and to get in the way. And like, yeah, I think I would just tell myself what you are doing has value, and probably more value than what you, like your client even realizes.
I feel like that's something that, I don't know, people who got into it in the last few years just kind of get, But I feel people have been doing this for a long time, especially in those early days. It's like we all went through that gauntlet of just feeling so small and like so scared to put one toe out of line, and like the photographer was this big thing and you just kind of stood there with your camera but being a creep. We just kind of over a long time sort of unlearnt a lot of those things. So
mm-hmm. We're all humans, like, yeah. We all feel the same things, and
yeah, we get there, we learn. It takes a while.
Takes our whole lives.
takes our whole fucking lives.
Thank you everyone for listening, and to Adeline for joining me on the show today to share her story. You can follow Cine Garden on Instagram with the link down below, and if you liked any of the music in today's episode, then you can find links to all the tracks available to license on MusicBed in the description as well. Finally, thank you all for your continued support of the show. It's nice to be back, and I'll see you all in the next one.